so good to see you in the house of the Lord. It's good for me to be back. Had a great camp meeting in Rome, Georgia, and I've come back renewed and refreshed and ready for worship here at First Baptist Gunnersville. So we're going to be singing and talking about hope today, and our hope is in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless your name and we worship you. We thank you for the hope that we have in the solid rock of Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior. We pray that you'll strengthen each one. Bless Joel as he brings the word today. Bless us as hearers of the word, that we would also be doers of the word. That you'll help each person in here to place their faith and trust and hope totally in you every single day of their lives. Refresh that every day. Strengthen us now as we sing, as we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand and sing 526, The Solid Rock.
Thank you, choir, for leading us. Thank you for being here on this 10:30 traditional worship service. Take a few moments, walk around, and welcome your friends. We're glad you're here today.
Thank you.
some of us may have been, but most of us haven't been in a literal prison. Some may have. But thankfully, the God that we serve and love, that loves us, forgives us of our sins. We have all been in spiritual bondage by the power of sin, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We can get rid of those shackles and chains because we've been freed and forgiven in Jesus our Lord. Our hope is in Him. We're going to sing a hymn that's in our hymn book, 540. If you're interested in looking at the hymn book, I can honestly say I don't think we've ever done this hymn since I've been here. Tim Hayes has accused me of doing every hymn in the hymn book. I think there's way over 800 in there, Tim. So.
Yeah, we must be on 750 at this point.
So it's called My Hope is in the Lord, hymn number 540. Father's throne. He shows his wounded hands and names me as his own. Amen. Let's move to the fourth verse. His grace has planted all.
His grace has planted all. 'Tis mine but to
is a little bit more familiar as we sing, Have Faith in God.
Have faith in God.
and stand as we receive our offering.
Have faith in God, though all hell's fail about you.
Thank you.
All right, Psalm chapter 2 today, and it will end with Jesus Christ, my living hope. Thank you, choir, for setting up this great, great, great old covenant psalm text for us today, because that's where we're going to end, right with that song. So let that song just kind of ring in your head as we go through this text. One of the things that excited me about Psalm chapter 2, when I finally decided, all right, you can't not do Psalm without Psalm 2. And because it's such a powerful, powerful psalm, and what it meant then and what it means today. And so one of the things that was exciting to me about Psalm chapter 2 is learning and understanding one of the basic concepts of biblical interpretation. And so Psalm chapter 2 provides that for us perfectly today, and that is this. In order for us to understand what a text, verse, word from the Lord, especially from the Old Covenant, in order for us to understand what that means to us today, we must, not we should, it's a good idea, maybe this should be something important for us, absolutely not. No, we must, we have no choice, but to be able to first understand what that text meant when it was originally written. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't speak to us clearly through His Word when we don't every single time understand that. However, it is very important when we interpret Scripture for us to be able to say this was what the original intent was for this passage of Scripture. And now that we understand that original intent, we can now understand it for what it means for us in the new covenant. So this psalm was originally a royal psalm of Israel. This morning in the early worship, I even made this point. I even said, all right, I'm 61, almost 62 years old. I've lived my entire life in Kentucky, Alabama, and Florida. My entire almost 62 years of living has been in the southeastern region of the United States of America in the 20th and the 21st century American culture. Now, like it or not, good, bad, right, wrong, that informs who I am. Who I am, what I believe, what I think about life. It is a part of all of that is because of where I was raised. My parents go into that. My friends, my church, all of those things are involved in that. But where I was raised and how I was raised informs who I am. Now, let's take a woman from the 15th century Europe. We couldn't have had two more different ways of living in different cultures. A woman in 15th century, a man in the 20th and 21st century, one in Europe, one in America. So we have two totally different worlds, two totally different cultures. And yet, both of us come to Psalm chapter 2. And we want to know, what is it that the Lord is trying to say to us? Well, one of the ways that we're helped here is that we can both go back to the original intent. Why was this psalm written? And then we can understand what God is trying to say to us today. So this psalm was originally a royal psalm. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that there were always, when this psalm was written, there was always other nations, especially during the time of transition. So Israel is transitioning from this king to this king. During that time of transition, there was always other nations trying to do a land grab, if you will. They were always trying to undermine Israel's authority. Imagine that. Sounds somewhat contemporary, doesn't it? I said this morning in early worship, it absolutely tickles me. It's not even something that drives me crazy, because it's so out of bounds with reality. But it just tickles me to death When I watch modern day American news media say that this whole thing started over in the Middle East in 1948. In 1948, when Israel became a country, then this whole thing started. And you want to say to them, please don't say that live on TV, because you just don't know how much of a fool you're making of yourself. This thing started 3,500 years ago. They've been fighting and trying to grab land and trying to undermine Israel's authority for 3,000-4,000 years. And that's what was going on even when this text was written. So, scholars are fully convinced that this psalm, Psalm chapter 2, was read each time there was a transition to a new king. So a new king comes into office, and that new king is being anointed by Israel. And this psalm would have been the psalm, that's why it's known as a royal psalm, as it would have been read in the installation of this new king. So the whole point of the psalm was to instill hope and confidence in God's people as they carried out his mission. So that's why it's known as a royal psalm. However, it came to have a wider meaning as historic Israel passed from the scene. So the hope of the psalm then came to be identified not with another human king, right? But it came to the point to where it was identified as the divine king, the divine Messiah who would come as the Savior of the world. So now here we are in the new covenant, way beyond the old covenant, and we read and understand this text with that in mind, but at the same time we understand this text with that wider meaning, and that wider meaning will do for us that God's people, it was done for God's people of old. So it instills confidence, it instills hope in us as well. So now let's look at Psalm chapter 2 with that short little brief understanding history. Now let's read it with its original intent of instilling a new king in Israel. And then let's read it with the much wider meaning for God's people now that we are beyond that in the new covenant. Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry. Let us free ourselves from the slavery of God. Oh my, the slavery of God. They have no idea the freedom that exists in God the Father. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then in anger He rebukes them, terrifying them with His fiery or fierce fury. For the Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem, literally old covenant and Jesus new covenant, on my holy mountain. The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Only ask and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. The whole earth is your possession. You will break them with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. Now then, you kings, act wisely. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. Submit to God's royal son, or He will become angry and you will be destroyed in the midst of all your activities. For His anger flares up in an instant. And here's how this psalm ends. Now listen to this as a new covenant believer. Listen to what the Lord says to His people back in the old covenant and now in the new covenant. But what joy for all who take refuge in Him. We talk a lot about the shape of our world here at First Baptist Church. I do that. I talk a lot about our world and our culture and the world that we live in, the culture that we live in. When I was in seminary and I was in preaching class, my preaching professor, Dr. Charles Bug, I loved dearly, taught me a lot. He taught me a lot about preaching. But one of the things that I remember that he taught me that I took And I allowed this to become a part of who I am. He said, make sure that when you're preaching, that you preach with a newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other hand. In the early worship, they didn't know what I was talking about. They have no idea what a newspaper is in the early worship. Y'all do. Y'all do know what a newspaper is. So his point was very simple. Make sure that as you are proclaiming the good news of the gospel, you are proclaiming the good news of the gospel to a world in desperate need. Make sure that the gospel always informs the culture, not the other way around. I hear people a lot say, oh, the world is in the worst shape that it's ever been in. Reality is the world's always been in bad shape. It was in bad shape when this psalm was written, Psalm chapter 2. It was in bad shape when this psalm was written thousands upon thousands of years ago. Dallas Willard once said, some bemoan the loss of family values and long for life as it was many generations ago. That's me. Yes, I'm one of those people, Dallas Willard. Some bemoan the homosexual and transgender presence in our country today. That's me. He's right. I bemoan the loss of family values. I bemoan the homosexual and transgender shoving down my throat. That's true. He says, but sexual sin has been around since the very beginning. Some bemoan people who aggressively attack God and long for life as it was in the Old Testament, yet the Old Testament was a time when the nations were so angry the kings of earth prepared for battle against God. For that kind of world and for the kind of world in which we live, the psalmist has a message of hope. We do not have to despair. We do not have to give up. We do not have to fear. We can have hope. And where does this hope come from? It comes from the realization that God is who He says He is and the recognition of what God has done already. So first of all, it's from the recognition of the realization of who God is. Notice in verse 4, he says, but the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. I read a story many years ago about a great preacher in England, a guy named Richard Shepherd. And he was one of the great preachers of England at the turn of the last century. So he had been invited to preach at one of the great Anglican churches in London. And he arrived that Saturday afternoon, in order to be ready to preach that next morning. And so he started getting a head cold. And by the time it was time to go to bed, this head cold was full blown. And he was fussing and he was fuming and he was angry. And he didn't know what he was going to do. And he was pacing the floor. And he just got worse. The head cold just got worse and worse and worse. What am I going to do about tomorrow? How am I going to make it? He tossed and he turned in his bed. Finally, he dozed off to sleep and he had a dream. This dream changed his entire life. And this dream changed the way that he preached from that point until Jesus took him home to be with him in heaven. And in this dream, he pictured God pacing the floor. And God, he said in this dream, was just wringing his hands. And God was saying openly, out loud, oh my, Richard Shepherd has a cold. What am I going to do? How will I make it with Richard Shepherd having a bad head cold? He said, I woke up the next morning and I started laughing and I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. I couldn't even quite get myself together because I was just laughing so hard. I changed everything that I had planned to preach. I preached on Psalm chapter 2, he said, and I preached on the sovereignty of God, and it changed everything about my world and my life. What am I going to do? Richard Shepherd has a cold. In this day of despair and division, do we actually think that God is wringing his hands? The psalmist says no. When God sees the raging of evil and the plotting of the pagans, He is amused. He laughs. He laughs because no matter what happens around us, no matter who rises up against this God, only one true God, He's still in control. This is His world. John wrote in the great Revelation, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever." The realization that God is still God should then instill hope, confidence in those of us who claim to know Christ as our Savior and Lord as we carry out His mission. In addition, hope comes from a recognition of what God has done. Once again, Dallas Willard writes, "God did not just sit on His throne and laugh because He knew nothing could ultimately threaten His control and His purpose. No! He communicated that truth to us by becoming a part of our world in the person of His Son, Jesus. The description in verses 6 through 9, which originally referred to the kings of Israel, is eventually only fulfilled in Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. The heathen rage. Boy, they do. The pagans conspire against God. Yes, they certainly do. People rise up against all that is good and decent. Oh my, yes, 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 yes. And yet God declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem. You are my son." Jesus put it this way. He asked the disciples, "Who do they say that I am?" And the disciples said, I don't know. Some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, and he answered correctly. He said, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." And Jesus said, "That's right. And on this rock-solid foundational confession, I am going to build my church." Now, here we are 2,000 years later, and everything that Jesus said to Peter and to the disciples right then is still true. I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell itself, just the culture we live in today is hell itself, and the gates of hell itself will not prevail against it. No matter what happens on this earth, Jesus, God's anointed, is still Lord, and nothing that ever happens will ever change that biblical truth. This morning, I saw something yesterday. There's a young man named Scottie Scheffler. He's a golfer. And I don't know what the end result is on the British Open. And I don't want you to shout it out, you know, because I don't want to give anything away, because I don't really know, because this has nothing to do with whether he won. He finished yesterday at the third round. There's four rounds in any kind of golf tournament like that. And so this is one of the majors, and he finished the third round with four-stroke lead. He's the number one golfer in the world. He's from Texas. And he walked off, and as you can imagine, when you're the number one golfer in the world, you've got a four-shot lead after three rounds of the oldest golf tournament in the history of golf. Everybody wants a piece of you. Everybody wants your advice. Everybody wants to hear what you've got to say. So he's going through all these interviews. Now, I'm acting at the moment yesterday. I'm acting like I'm watching. Truth be told, I'm napping. But every now and then, as I'm napping, I open one eye and I'm watching a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I caught this one thing in one of those moments when I was awake. And so he's going through all of these interviews, and he goes from this one to this one to this one. And he's leaving the grounds. Somebody trying to be mean yells out to Scottie Scheffler, says, "Hey, what are you going to do tomorrow if you blow a four-stroke lead in the British Open?" And Scheffler stopped, looked, smiled at him, and he says, "Jesus will still be Lord." And he walked off. And I'm looking, now my eyes are wide open. I'm like, "You cowboy." All of a sudden, I like Texas. You know, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting there watching us on TV, and I'm thinking, how in the world did Scotty Scheffler in England, how in the world did Scotty Scheffler know that I was going to be preaching on Psalm chapter 2 today? How could he have known that? Jesus will still be Lord. What are you going through? Family troubles? Marriage in trouble? Jesus is still Lord. What are you going through? Loss of a job? Retirement not going the way you want it to go? What are you going through? What are you experiencing? Jesus is still Lord. This was a royal psalm originally written to instill confidence and hope to God's people. And nothing has changed. The heart of the gospel of Psalm chapter 2 says, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem. Now, he's not talking anymore about physical Jerusalem. He's talking about those of us who trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem on my holy mountain. He's my son, and the whole earth is his possession. What great joy is given to all who take refuge in him. What are you going through? Jesus is still Lord. Father, thank you for that great gospel, powerful truth. And that's exactly what it is. Thousands of years ago, confidence and hope given to your people. Thousands of years later, confidence and hope given to your people. The heart of the gospel in Psalm 2 is confidence and hope in the one who has given us life in the name of his son, Jesus. Thank you for that gift. If there's anybody that doesn't know that gift today, Father, that's our prayer. Our prayer is they will know the truth claim of salvation. For those of us who know you as Savior and Lord, Father, burn it in our hearts even deeper. Hope and confidence in you and you alone. Thank you for that gift today, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Learning to lean is 534. You are my all in all. It will be a combination, and we'll sing that as our invitation. If you don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, then trust him today. If you need to join our church, come and pray. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand and sing. Please be seated real quickly before we go home. Will, what do we got first? All right, so our spots building fund, we have $544,593 to date. And if you have not yet given, please make sure that you do. This coming Wednesday night here in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock, we will have a special called business meeting. And in that special called business meeting, we will be voting on the parking lot. Now, I actually, this is my fault, not Karen's. So I'm the one that told Karen about this special call business meeting. We will not be voting on any of the fellowship hall renovations yet because we don't have bids yet for that. So when the bids come in for renovations to the fellowship hall, then we'll either have a special call business meeting or our next regularly scheduled business meeting is September the 17th. So whichever one we need to do, and hopefully we'll have bids before then, and we'll have a special call business meeting, and then we'll vote on renovations for the fellowship hall. But this one, this coming Wednesday night, is just for discussion and voting on the parking lot. I asked Jared Jackson today, if we vote, assuming that we vote yes and that we're going to go ahead with this, when can we start? And he said, they'll start fairly quick. Hopefully they'll start either later this coming week or first of next week. So hopefully we can get that moving and headed in the right direction as far as that parking lot is concerned. So that will be this coming Wednesday night. All right, what do we got next? Ken.
Yeah, this Friday night, we've got the Providence Baptist Church Choir. Tammy and I and the girls actually were born down in Opelika area, and so we served that church for 7 years. They're going to be coming here Friday. We're going to feed them and then have the service in here at 7. So I hope that you'll come back and let's have a good crowd for them on Friday night. They do a choir tour every year, small group out of the choir is the Providence Singers, and they do a great job. Dr. Tom Smith is the former choral director at Auburn University, and he's been at Providence for 51 years. And it was sort of like a mentor for me while I was there. Learned a great deal from him. So please come and support the music ministry on Friday night at 7 o'clock.
All right. Senior adults, movie and matinee, August the 5th. Sign up. Barber Vintage Motorsport, August the 12th. So sign-ups are on the Old Lord's Supper table. Go ahead and sign up and be a part of that. Oasis as well, coming July the 31st, if you'd like to come, go and be a part of Oasis in Trustville. And then also our annual golf outing, Shotgun Start, it's Friday, August the 22nd. Sign-ups on the Old Lord's Supper table for that as well. All right, so real quickly before we go, our students are in Belize. I got a text from Warren, and Warren said, we hadn't even made it. I don't even think they made it out of the airport. And this guy, they all had on the same T-shirts. So, and that's for many different reasons. Mainly, it's so that we all don't get lost. We're all wearing the same, everybody wearing the same shirt. But this guy comes up to Warren, I think, is the way the story goes, and he says something about, what are you doing? You got all these shirts. And he says to Warren, he says something like, can you tell me about Jesus? I don't want to go. I remember the text saying, the guy said, I don't want to go to the bad place. So I've got a picture of Warren kneeling down with this guy, and he's leading this guy to Jesus, and they've not even made it yet to the mission. So they're just in the airport. So God is already doing just incredible stuff. When Heather, a few minutes later, texted me, she didn't even know that this had happened yet, and she just simply texted me one word, here, meaning we're tired already and we're here. So on the Old Lord's Supper table, you have all of these different bracelets that they have put out. So this bracelet, I went and picked one up. This bracelet will remind me, first of all, to pray for the mission team this week. They come home Saturday. Is it Saturday? I think it's Saturday. So this bracelet will remind me to pray for the mission team. But it's got the name Kennedy Bowers on this bracelet. So not only am I praying for the mission team, but I'm praying specifically for Kennedy, one of our sweet teenagers. So I'm going to be praying for her every single day. I found out from her mother during the break after Sunday school, first of all, that if Kennedy knew that I was calling out her name in church, she would crawl under the pew.
That's true.
It would just absolutely destroy her. She's so shy. But I found out that Kennedy also suffers from heat allergy. She has a heat allergy. She's in Belize. She's in South America. And she suffers from a heat allergy. So I said, thank you, Jody, because that's going to give me an even more greater reason to be praying for Kennedy while she is down there. So just grab one of those, put it on your wrist for the week, pray for that specific student or adult as they are a part of that great mission team. All right, let's all stand and close.